Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
I feel like I'm leaving my mark now and, like, almost paving the way for the younger students and making it a little bit easier for them, hopefully, the ones that are Black. I hope they just stay confident in their own skin and don't, like, feel like they have to change to fit in or whatever, because I feel like I changed myself as much as I could.
I'm probably one of the few people I know who still looks forward to my Sunday newspaper. Not a digital copy that I read on my phone, but the real finger-staining, loud crinkling, section-by-section newspaper. The Sunday paper for me is a treat to be enjoyed while lounging in bed and sipping hot lemon water. So one day when we were going through all of the Only One stories that are being submitted to us, thank you for those, by the way, we love reading them. It was Scott's idea to record and release a few of them occasionally, but always on Sundays, and call them our Sunday edition. And because they're only 30 minutes long, our hope is that you can enjoy them while sipping your morning beverage, going for a walk, or even just enjoying a lazy Sunday at home. Please enjoy today's Sunday edition, and be sure to listen every Thursday for a new installment of our Now Normal series. And of course, every Tuesday, when we drop another brand new episode of The Only One in the Room. Imani Lindsay, how are you?
I'm good. Just getting used to quarantine.
Yeah. Tell me, what are you obsessed with right now? Like any TV show or movie or YouTuber or anything like that?
I've been watching Netflix with my sister a lot, just like hanging out with my sister. So,
what are you watching on Netflix?
We were watching The Circle.
I don't know what that is. What's that?
It's like a game show almost. It's like a series, and there's like people that join this building, and they all have their own rooms, and they communicate over social media, but they can't see each other, and they can like be in on like a whole catfish, and you wouldn't know.
Right, right. Is it scary?
No.
Oh, it's not. It's just intriguing.
Yeah, it's really funny, actually.
Okay, good. Well, I am Laura Cathcart-Robbins, and this is the Only One in the Room special Sunday edition. But I am never the only one in this room because, as usual, my boyfriend, producer, and co-host, Scott Slaughter, is here as well.
Hi, honey.
Hey, hon. So when Black and brown girls don't see Black ballerinas in the world's most prestigious troupes, they don't always know that dancing is something that's possible for them. A career in professional ballet is already a long shot for most girls, but the odds are even more stacked against Black girls who rarely, if ever, see prima ballerinas of color succeed. So when my dear friend Riva Lombardi, shout out to Riva, told us about 16-year-old Imani Lindsay, who is one of the only Black dancers at the National Ballet of Canada, where she has trained for many years and currently lives in residence, we jumped at the chance to interview her. So welcome, Imani.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome, Imani.
Let's start by telling people where you live.
I live in like Brampton area. I live in like a really small town right outside of Brampton.
Which is in what country?
In Canada.
In Canada. Are you in Toronto? Or are you near Toronto?
Yeah, I'm like greater Toronto area.
Okay, cool. And tell me, when did you start dancing?
I was 3, about.
And
yeah.
What did that look like, starting to dance at 3?
It was really just running around the studio. Wasn't right. anything much. But I did start gymnastics at 18 months old, like before ballet.
That's crazy. So
I know. I feel like I was like ready to do more than just run around.
Mm-hmm. I guess so, if you were in gymnastics at 18 months old.
Yeah, we can make this interview about your life before dancing and gymnastics.
Right? That's pretty incredible. So what was it, your mom put you in gymnastics?
Yeah.
So she just knew that you had that ability?
Yeah, I guess so. She was like always stretching my feet and stretching me when I was younger.
Wow.
So
cool. Now, your twin is a dancer too. So are either of your parents dancers?
My mom, yeah, she was a dancer.
Oh, that's so good. And what kind of dance does she do?
She did ballet. She did everything, really.
Mm-hmm. And you do everything as well, right?
I used to do everything, but now I just mostly do ballet and contemporary.
Okay, cool. So for someone who doesn't know what it's like to be 18 months old in gymnastics and dancing at 3, tell me what you love about it.
I like how everyone communicates through their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone can understand it, no matter like where you're from.
Yes. It's a language unto itself, right?
Yeah.
So that's what you love about dancing. What do you like or love about being in that world of ballet?
Well, I can like forget about everything else and just focus on dancing, because it requires a lot of focus. Mm-hmm. And you can just center your focus onto one thing and all your corrections, and it's just a good way to escape the actual world.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about the actual world in a minute. Tell me what makes it challenging. What's challenging about being a ballet dancer?
There's a lot of high standards, and especially like body and like image wise.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the biggest problem for me.
Tell me about that.
Well, I've always felt like I never like really fit in with other dancers just because of my body type and my skin color.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always just like I'm almost an outcast. Like, I know I'm not, but it just feels like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I can totally see that. I actually, it's interesting that you say that, because I pulled this quote from the Huffington Post, and it says, "So it seems that ballet and whiteness are inseparable. To be divorced from each other at cost, no less an extinction of the form itself. Some stakeholders reinforce this idea by favoring homogeneity, claiming that a black dancer in the corps could throw off the symmetry needed for pleasing optics. And others reject black dancers for having what they say are unsuitable contours." So basically, your brown skin isn't regulation uniform and will throw off the optics, right? And then the black female body is shaped differently than the white female body, and therefore undesirable. Is that what you're experiencing? Or
yes, for sure.
Yeah. Is that reflected back to you at all?
I feel like it's definitely affected my mental health.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. Like before, yeah, but ever since I joined NBS specifically, the National Ballet School, my mental health kind of plummeted.
Really?
Like really bad.
Well, tell me about that. What do you mean by that?
I just got really insecure, and I used to be a pretty confident girl, and I lost all my confidence.
Mm.
But I'm gaining it back.
Good, good. So you came into this very white world, this very white space, and you felt not just different then, but less than?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever feel like anyone made you feel that way, or did you just feel that way because you were different?
I feel like it was indirectly because of what other people would do.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think it was my own self doing it as well.
Right. So it's a little bit of both, right?
Yeah.
And do you know what microaggressions are?
Yes.
Did you experience any of those?
So there's this one girl in my class in grade 7 before ballet class. I was like in front of the mirror, and my abs are kind of popping out, like you could see them through my leotard.
Mm.
And I feel like almost black girls their muscles are more prominent.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So she was like, I hate when abs show through leotards.
Mm.
And I was like, because it was just so obvious that it was about me. Because,
right.
I don't know.
Well, so yeah.
Trying to be subtle, but.
It was shade, though.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, of Serena Williams, like, one of her most beautiful covers of Vogue. You can see her abs through the material of her top. And it just looks so strong and powerful to me. But I also know that that's part of how we are built, especially when we're in really good shape. So I've never been in enough shape to have my abs show through anything. But
you
when,
have great abs, hon.
Oh, thank you, honey. But no, but I know exactly what you mean. And, you know, and microaggressions are those things. They're the, it's called like a thousand little cuts. Like that's what we endure during the day. It's all these little things that people say that could be followed by, oh, I was just joking, or, you know, just like, oh, don't take it so personally, but they are personal and they don't feel like jokes. And in at some point, you know, we can become desensitized where we just, there's so many of them that we just move through our day without responding to them. And that's not good either. Yeah. So thank you for that example. I think that's a really good example of being literally faced in a mirror with somebody else and them seeing you differently and not liking it. Right. Can you just tell me a little bit about what it's like to be a dancer? Like what's your day like as a dancer?
NBS, at least it's, you only do your academics for like the first half of the day until lunch.
Yeah.
And then you have dance for like 5 hours after that.
Wow. And you live there. Is that right? So when did you move there?
When I was 12 or 13 in grade 7.
In grade 7. And you're 16 now?
Yeah.
Okay. So you live in a dorm?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. And then you just go in for classes in the morning with the rest of the students.
Mm-hmm.
And then you all eat and then have 5 hours of dance afterward.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible. Is that, that's 5 days a week, no weekends, right?
On the weekend, we have about 3 hours-ish. It depends on like how many rehearsals you have, but Sunday is our only free day.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% back at hundreds of stores, and it's all happening this week, May 6th to May 13th. It's the perfect time to shop for everything on your list for spring and summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. I know I'm using this week to stock up on some warmer weather essentials at Ray-Ban and Ulta, and I love that Rakuten even helps me save on travel at sites like Hotels.com. Rakuten really is the best way to shop, and you can save even more by stacking cash back on top of deals. Plus, during Big Give Week, that cash back is bigger than ever. With Rakuten, membership is free. And when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cashback boost. That's an extra 10% cashback on top of the 15% cashback. You won't see higher cashback rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Shoppers get it.
I wanted to explore a little bit more because I'm now fascinated about the body type thing. So is there a certain weight that you have to maintain?
No.
No, you can be any weight?
They don't, yeah. Well, they don't tell you that you have to be within a certain weight.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure they, you know, they used to do that, but not anymore.
Right. They're conscious of not doing that now.
Yeah.
Right, because it can be harmful.
Yes.
Both mentally and physically, right?
Yeah.
There was an era where a lot of dancers smoked cigarettes and were bulimic in order to maintain that perfect ballet body. It, without that, wasn't attainable.
Yeah.
And then you talked about standards. What other standards are you expected to uphold or adhere to?
I'm kind of not like everyone else when it comes to following. I follow the rules, but I just kind of don't care as much when it comes to like viewing the directors and teachers as so much more than the students. Because that just, I feel like that's almost toxic and it makes it hard to talk to them when you need to. But I feel like if we're talking about that, then like all the students are like terrified of the directors and stuff. And that's like maintained throughout.
Right. Is there like a moral code? Like, is there values that you have to uphold outside of the dance school or no?
You're not allowed to like go skiing and.
You're not allowed to ski?
Yeah. And you can't go like to Sky Zone or anything like that.
Because of injuries?
Yeah.
Oh. And do you ski? I mean, you're in Canada. So.
I mean, I went skiing once in grade six, like before I went. So I'm not a skier, but.
But you don't have the option now.
If you're a skier, then you can go skiing. But if you want to try for the first time, then you can't.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And is there anything else?
I mean, you're expected to eat healthy.
Right.
When you're not at school.
Sure.
And you're expected to keep training on your breaks.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. You're not allowed to go to like other studios, which is really weird.
For your training?
Yeah, you have to do it by yourself.
Oh, interesting. We talked about body type and then you mentioned skin color. Tell me about the leotards that are skin toned. Do they match your skin?
I haven't had to wear any. Well, there was socks that I had to wear for a contemporary piece, and they were red.
Oh, well, that's nobody's skin tone.
Yeah, everyone else's were like their skin tone, but then they gave me red socks.
And how did that feel?
Honestly, I didn't expect anything better. So,
really?
Yes.
So you were not expecting them to come up with something that would be matched to you.
Yeah. I mean, knowing them, that's just like wasn't my expectation.
So do you think they are just not considering what it feels like to be you or they just don't know?
Before they were just like ignorant. Now they're trying their best. Like we've started a committee and whatnot.
Yeah.
So they're actually trying to get better now and they're going to work on getting better at color matching and they have the shoe room, which is their like store.
Yeah.
And they're going to put skin tone like tights for everybody and not just, they're also changing the uniform for dance where darker dancers can wear tights that actually match their skin.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when we talked, I guess it was last week when you and I talked on the phone, we talked about how Band-Aid is finally putting out an array of skin tones for their bandages, which is 80 years later, you know, but it's happening because of the Black Lives Matter movement. I just want to kind of tie that into what you were saying. You're working with the director of your school, right? to bring in more Black and brown faces, not just students, but faculty as well?
Yeah.
And do you think that they're more receptive to that because of Black Lives Matter?
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that. Like, how did it start and what were those conversations like?
It started because a bunch of students noticed that they weren't saying anything mm-hmm. about the Black Lives Matter movement. So people were getting mad almost.
Yeah.
So the students took it upon themselves to create a student committee. And then we went to the director and she wanted to be a part of it.
Oh, that's great.
So I don't think if it wasn't for us, I don't think they would be doing anything, yeah. to be honest.
How many students in the committee? How many students?
Like over 60.
Really? So,
yeah.
So it wasn't just Black students?
No. Well, I'm the only Black student in the senior part of the school. The rest of them are 12.
Oh, wow. So you're like the Black student in the high school part.
Yes.
And you're the only one?
Yeah.
No boys?
No.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. That's incredible.
Yeah.
So you knew that going in, huh?
There used to be a Black student, but she left, so.
Did she leave because she was tired of being the only Black student, or did she leave?
No.
No.
She was injured.
She was injured. Okay. But so there was one other Black student, but you knew that going in, you were going to have this kind of solo experience.
Yeah, for sure.
And you were braced for that?
I guess.
Like, I don't know how you prepare for that at your age or younger.
I don't know. I thought I was ready, mm-hmm. but yeah. I don't think I really was.
So then tell me this. Say after you leave this school, there's another solo Black dancer coming into the senior part and they're going to spend their time there being the only Black dancer. What advice would you give them? What would you say to them?
Well, I hope that's not the case because right. of after everything we do. But if that does happen, I hope they just stay confident in their own skin and mm-hmm. don't like feel like they have to change to fit in or whatever. Because I feel like I changed myself as much as I could. I straightened my hair, whatnot. So I would just tell them to stay true to themselves.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. When did you straighten your hair?
Well, I couldn't really fit it into a bun on my own because of how thick it was. So I have
to straighten. You have a lot of hair for anyone who's listening. It's a lot of hair. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's okay. When I was in grade 7 was when I started like straightening it continuously, like mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah.
And then it got damaged.
It always does.
Yeah.
It always does. But it'll come back.
I'm actually in the process of growing it because I shaved it.
Oh.
And then it's like, it's coming back now. Like, it's growing back. I shaved it like a year ago.
What did they say about that?
Well, I didn't really give them a choice.
Right. You just came
in. This is when I stopped caring. Like, I just kind of was like, oh, I'm just going to do what I can because I am Black and there's nothing I can do about that. So if I need to do this for my hair, then I will.
Okay.
And they liked it. They didn't really care. They actually complimented a lot. So that's good.
And then, so you've created this committee and hopefully the result is you bring in more Black students for this experience and Black faculty. But then those are Black adult dancers, right? Would be faculty.
Yeah.
And there just aren't very many.
I don't
right?
even know if we have any faculty that's.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a big job, girlfriend.
I know. It wasn't even my idea to make the committee, though. It was like one of my friends in grade 12.
Mm-hmm.
And then he reached out to me and he was like, we should do this. I was like, for sure.
Okay. I mean, yeah. I mean, it seems it would be odd if you weren't part of it.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
You were the only holdout.
Yeah.
So just a couple more questions before we wrap up. If you had to describe the experience of being the only Black student there in 2 sentences, the way you felt about it, not what it looked like, but how mm-hmm. it felt to you, what would you say?
Difficult and challenging at first, but almost inspiring and fulfilling in the end.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
Because I feel like I'm leaving my mark now and like, almost paving the way. I don't know if I have that much impact, but almost paving the way for the younger students.
Mm-hmm.
and making it a little bit easier for them, hopefully, the ones that are Black.
Yes. Yes. I can't imagine that you're not. You have to be, you know, just by being there. Modeling is like the most powerful thing we can do. So mm-hmm. by you being there, that's hope for someone else, you know?
Yeah.
What about dating? Is there any dating happening?
In the school?
No, you.
Me? Yeah. No.
No.
No. I don't have the time.
You don't have the time, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to worry about that.
Okay. I hear you. I see you. You keep on crushing it. Is it a dating culture? Is there a lot of dating going on there? Or are most people as focused as you?
Honestly, like, I'm not... The drama of it all, like, I'm never involved and I never hear about it. And then I just, all of a sudden, there's like 14 new couples and they never last, ever. Like, I don't know why they don't just stop. It never lasts.
Oh, that's so funny. Tell me, Imani, what's next for you? What's next? What's this upcoming year look like for you?
Well, it will be my graduating year, so I'm going to try my best to do as much as I can in the school regarding like making it more diverse.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to be focusing on, is just keeping in touch with the director. Yeah. And making sure that she continuously does her job.
Yeah.
Because if she doesn't do it, then, you know, it's not going to happen.
Absolutely.
It's not going to work out.
Yes. And then tell me how people can find you. Where can they follow you? Where can they
see you?
Okay,
they can follow me on Instagram mm-hmm. at Imani_Lindsay. And I don't really use Twitter or anything else. So okay. Instagram.
Cool. Your Instagram is gorgeous. I've been following you and looking at all your pictures, and I'm sure that other people will as well. They'll want to see what you look like after this, or probably during, actually, while they're listening.
Thank you, by the way.
Oh, of course. And is there anything else you want to say about your experience before we close?
No, I'm really happy that I am going through this, and I've been through what I've been through because I feel like it'll help me in the future.
Mm, it will. It will. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing I forgot to ask you. Where do you see yourself after graduation?
Hopefully in a company, either San Francisco or actually both San Francisco for the companies I want to go to.
All right. You're coming to California.
Yeah.
Yay. I mean, it's like another state up there, but it's still California. Hopefully we'll get to see you.
I can't wait.
We'd love to come.
Hopefully I make it.
Yeah, if you come there, you let us know and we'll come see you perform.
For sure. Oh, yay.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank your mother. We'll thank Reva again for connecting us. We just love her. And hun, is there anything you wanted to say?
No, I've been sitting here looking at your photos and stuff, and I just find you to be a beautiful dancer.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
She's very flexible.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. And I just think you're, I know sometimes probably being the example doesn't feel like you're making a change, but if you're inspiring one person to be like you, you are doing everything. So don't give up.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's so true.
And it takes a while for change to occur. So just keep doing what you love and know that you have two jobs there, I bet, you know, to dance and to be.
Be an example.
That image that people don't get to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the rest of us.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for doing
this.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for having me, by the way.
You're so welcome. It is our pleasure. Thank you, Imani. Thank your mom. And then we will be back in touch soon.
Yep.
Okay?
Well, okay.
Thanks, Imani.
Thank you.
Be sure not to miss our weekly full episodes and Scott Talks each Tuesday by subscribing to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Join our Only One in the Room Facebook group if you'd like to ask a question of any of our upcoming guests for this series. All of us at The Only One in the Room wish you safety and wellness during this challenging time, and we'll see you next week.
Some of the best content for kids is both entertaining and educational. And with 5 for 5 Trivia, not only do kids get to learn from each week's brand new theme, They also get to challenge themselves by playing trivia. A Parents' Choice Foundation Silver Award winner, this fast-paced trivia podcast is perfect for kids ages 6 to 12. It's released 5 times a week, so it's a quick addition to your daily routine and a fun challenge to get 5 out of 5 right on trivia topics like animal sounds, time travel, fictional ghosts, and underwater exploration. So get your high fives warmed up and check out 5 for 5 Trivia, available wherever you listen to podcasts.